What's going to work out? Just work better. Tanya Dunga's Gigon, then on Zewa Dahusa Dutch, Ungahuan, and Hadiwa Nodus, Nene Aboriginal Voices, Oscar Dewa Nyawar Oscar, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
And it is 6 o'clock right here at CFRC, 101.9 FM, and we're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. Ani Nichki Wink, Doug Farquhar, Disney Cause, Miwa Sean Story, Esna Minwa, and Ishnabi Nawewin. And here we go, Aboriginal Voices on this gorgeous, gorgeous Tuesday night. And our special guest in the Don Ross studio, Rachel, glad to see you along.
Hello, Rachel.
So we're doing fine. Rachel, say that again.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Is that better?
Yeah.
Douglas had the wrong microphone on.
Well, I switched because...
No, it was Doug's fault.
Yeah.
Well, so, Rachel.
Ahead. Yeah.
What do you think of the new room?
Yeah.
Studio.
It's pretty
swanky.
Are
we even talking about that? Are we allowed to talk about that? Oh, never mind then.
What room?
No, CR3.
Studio what?
Yeah. We're just...
Tell me, I only saw through the room when it was being renovated.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all set up
what
now.
What is it?
Constantly evolving, CFRC is. And so now they've got what looks to be an interview studio. It's, I think our guests are going to feel better and better.
Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, maybe we should be going over there and broadcasting from there?
Right, yeah, well, that might take a little finagling. I like the window in this though.
Oh, okay.
I like how I can see you guys.
I'll have to turn the lights down here.
Yeah. I'll just operate in the dark and start with our, what is it, echolocation. I guess we don't need that.
Well, tonight we're going to have a very special night. We have a dedication that we're going to do for listeners who might not know about Chris Dirksen and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And in their second hour, we have a special guest, an interview with Cynthia, and she's going to tell us all about part of a project that we've been doing here. Mm. And it follows up on the Red Dress Project concept that we've been doing since, when did we start? 2014.
Too many years ago.
2014, I think it was, that we started that project.
And you know what?
And it's still going.
Here's my thing, Doug. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have to do this.
You're right.
We should not have to bring about this whole idea.
The awareness.
Oh, that's the one. Mm-hmm. Awareness.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Cynthia called and said she heard you talking, Sean.
Who's that?
A couple weeks ago. And called and said she has something she would like to share. And so we're going to share that tonight with you.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right, then.
Maybe she'll call in and talk to you after.
I doubt it.
Oh, we'll see.
I'm out of here.
All right. No. All right. So we're...
I'm in traffic, so to say. Mm-hmm.
So as I get this set up for you, Sean, you get this side down to here.
What's that?
That's the work we're going to do tonight because we're going to do this dedication. Whoa, don't do that. That hurts.
Both sides?
Yes.
Okay. Are we going now?
Yes.
Oh.
We've started.
So,
what happened
welcome
to
back to Indigenous Soundscape, Doug.
Thank you.
Rachel.
Yes.
The space where traditionally roots meet modern rhythms, and I'm your host.
Yes.
Feels like Twilight Zone.
Say Sean.
I'm Sean.
And Rachel.
I'm Sean and Rachel and Douglas over there. And today we're diving deep into into the sonic world of Chris Dirksen. Dirksen is a brilliant Cree Mennonite cellist. I didn't know she was Mennonite. And a composer who seamlessly blurs the lines between classical orchestration and indigenous spirit. Today we're exploring her critically acclaimed album, The Cusp. A powerful collection of music that sits right at the intersection of the old ways and New Horizon. So let's start at the very beginning of this journey. We danced movement one.
That's the name of the song that we're going to play.
Are you going to play it?
Not yet.
Why?
Not yet. Keep going.
There's more?
That is...
Oh, gracious.
You have to turn the pages, Sean.
All righty. So the We Danced Movement 1 should be We Danced Movement 1. Right? That's like one whole entire... Should there be a comma?
I only took the information from Chris Dirksen's title on her album.
There's
the
no
Cusp.
Comma in the album.
No,
title,
I know. I'm just saying like it. So We Danced Movement 1 acts as a grand sweeping invitation into the cusp. Right from the opening notes, you can hear how Dirksen uses her cello not just as a classical instrument, but as a storyteller. This track is heavily layered, combining driving electronic beats with traditional powwow singing and drumming, all anchored by her fierce cello lines. What makes this piece so compelling is its cinematic structure. It feels like a sunrise, a movement forward. Dirksen has often spoken about how indigenous people have always adapted and utilized new technologies. And this song is the auditory proof that that evolution. It's a celebration of survival, joy, and the unstoppable urge to dance. Let's take it in, Douglas. Thank you. And Douglas, hey.
Yes, yeah.
That was the We Danced Movement 1.
Yeah, because...
Or I, is it a Roman numeral?
No, it's a Roman numeral 1.
So it's 1.
Yeah.
All right.
Because there's a second piece. There's a We Danced Movement 2. And then I think there's a War Cry Movement 1 and 2 as well.
That's right.
See, yeah. I would have We Danced Movement I.
Ah.
And then for the another one?
I.
Would have been We Danced Movement I. I, Captain.
That's it. That's the way to do it. Now, that was...
We joke,
that,
but...
That album was published in 2010.
Oh, wow.
See, when you told me that, I was like, what, really? She'd been around that long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, when did you, Rachel, bring us the fine sounds of Chris Dirksen?
I mean, that's a great question.
Was it the 17s, 18s, or was it earlier than that?
When I started, I imagine it would have been one of the first ones I brought because I had quite a few artists that I was very very enamored with, I guess. And Chris Dirksen, like, I've been listening to Dirksen's music, like The Cusp. I remember my friend and I talking about it in school, like in college. So it was maybe shortly after it was released.
Mm. Okay.
By like few years. So I've been aware of Chris Dirksen for a while.
And you know, you keep bringing musicians to us, and we try to find their work. And Chris Dirksen has been on Aboriginal Voices a number of times just through her music, all because of you, not because of you, because you were contributing to the show,
like we're doing now.
But as a tragic event happened, what was it? 2 weeks ago now.
Mm-hmm. That I think
she
a month
died,
ago.
Was it? Okay, it was in May.
Almost, yeah.
May 2026.
Mid-May, yeah.
And so, going back and listening to her music has been bittersweet in a way because you know there's some lovely ones and you can see the changes in her approach to telling you what's happening and like you said in your text there. She actually brings some joy into it, but also some of the experiences that she had over her time that created stress, especially in one or two of them that I listened to. You could just hear it building inside. Mm. What song are you going to do tonight?
Yeah, so one of my favorites, 2 Hour Parking. I guess we'll get into it a little bit, just shifting gears a little bit from the grand and cinematic to something a bit more intimate, urban, and brilliantly gritty. This is 2 Hour Parking. It's the first piece on her album, The Cusp. It's kind of a funny title. I think a lot of them, you know, you kind of look at it and you don't know what to expect, but it captures the frantic, beautiful chaos of a modern city life. As an Indigenous artist navigating urban spaces, Dirksen uses his track to play with time and space. Notice the frantic pizzicato. That's the technical term for plucking the strings, whether or not pronouncing it correctly. is beyond me, but it mimics the ticking of a clock or hurried footsteps on a downtown sidewalk, which is one of the things that I really, really love about Dirksen's playing is she really, really like explores the cello and all the noises that and the sounds that it can create and uses those very prolifically in all of her work. So it perfectly encapsulates the modern anxiety of being on the clock, while also the sweeping melodic overlays remind us to find our breath amidst the concrete. So it's clever, rhythmic, and it shows just how versatile the cello can be when pushed outside the concert hall. So this is 2 Hour Parking. Thank you.
Well, there you go, Sean. That was a very special song that Rachel had for us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And
that was two-hour parking?
Two-hour parking,
and yep. And, you know, as soon as it started, it got me thinking, I'm driving around downtown Kingston and looking for a place to park and thinking, all right, once I find a spot, where's the parking meter now? Because they changed it all on us.
Yeah.
And I can imagine Chris Dirksen looking in big cities, the same deal, when she jumps out of her community in northern Alberta and travels to big cities.
I think the music really would do well as a score, you know, mm-hmm. to a film. Like, as you say, you know, you can pair it so well with our actions, and it does create that emotive response where you're just like, oh, yeah, that totally makes sense. And, it pairs so well, but it's fun, but it's also, you know, there's so many different emotions all at once. But I really, really like it. Maybe that's something that will come to be in the future, if the music lives on that way. But yeah, I think that was definitely one of her strengths.
Yeah.
So
you made me laugh because, you know, the show that you used to do here on CFRC mm-hmm. called The Score.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought, okay, that's.
I've always got my ear to the ground if I hear something that sounds like it would be a good background piece to, you know, someone's life, even just riding the subway, you know, where it kind of creates this emotional other side to view some such See, like a mundane activity such as that.
You pick something like riding a subway. Mm-hmm. And I would pick something like trying to go down a set of rapids.
To find parking in downtown Kingston.
No, a set of rapids, because the sounds of everything around you, and you have to focus on picking your way through the amount of water you need to get that canoe through.
Yep, I could see that too. Absolutely.
You have to pay for parking in a canoe.
I think it depends. No, you know what? I'm going to tell you from personal experience, yes, you do.
Oh, you do.
If you're parking at a national campground, and then they will charge you a canoe fee. Yep.
A docking fee. Docking fee. That's
that
for
right?
pulling it out, right?
You just pull up to the shore, and it's not docking.
Yeah. Well, you tell them that. they'll show up, and they'll issue
Ministry
you a ticket.
Wants their money.
That's a national park, is it?
Thousand Islands National Park,
oh, wow.
Yeah. For some of the islands where where you can only get there via canoe, then, mm-hmm. yeah, there's a docking fee.
That is amazing.
It's something.
That goes...
Well, you know what, though? I mean, you can have your opinions on the parks one way or the other, but of all of the fees that I have to pay... I'm happy to contribute to provincial park conservation and stuff like that. I'd rather do that than...
I think I'm okay with that, too, as long as it goes to the park.
If there's a high... Yeah, in terms of hierarchy of where I'm okay with my money going, I really... It would be nice to see.
Yeah. Like, it could be gone into the back pocket of Kearney.
Could go anywhere, really. So many options. Mm-hmm. So are we...
So I can build that rocket train.
Actually, we have one more from the cusp that we'll share, because we're just giving giving a sense of Chris Dirksen's early works from 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we'll do the album, The Collapse.
The Collapse,
yeah,
okay.
So it gives a little
different...
I thought
we did that already.
No, the album itself.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so and possibly if you have time, we've got time to do the other piece that you wanted about a piano. So.
Oh yeah. Well,
right now,
yeah.
Though,
wait a minute. Let's do that one.
That's.
We can do that one.
I let the cat out of the bag.
Well, yeah. We've got one more. Yeah. You don't want to hear
Has
this
it got
last
piano
piece.
Piano in it.
No.
Not this one.
No,
but
no,
this
right.
one is my favorite
from
the cusp.
Well, yeah, hold on to your boots, because we'll play that one at some point. And we'll explain a little background, but we'll finish up with the cusp anyway before we change gears. Because this really is a magnificent album. I would recommend you all check it out. So to close off our feature today, this track feels more like a warm embrace after a long journey. This is Smile At Me. It highlights the incredible collaborative spirit that runs through all of Chris Dirksen's work. In this piece, the classical arrangements take on a deeply soulful, almost conversational tone with the electronic elements it carries, which is funny because I believe her cello that she played at the Skelton Park Music Fest however many years ago was one of those electronic cellos that had just bones, kind of, and it wasn't full-bodied the way that your classic cello is. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the violins.
Basically,
where
it's the bones and no shell.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it carries a sense of profound optimism and resilience. So throughout the cusp, Dirksen challenges the listener to rethink what classical music sounds like, which is very, very true, and who it belongs to. So Smile At Me feels like the ultimate resolution to that challenge, a beautiful reminder of the shared human experience rooted deeply in Indigenous strength and a bright vision for the future. And that's really something that Chris Dirksen's been commended with over and over and over again, is just that braiding of traditional sound and, you know, modern music together, weaving it together. So this is Smile At Me.
That was Chris Dirksen's Smile At Me. That makes you smile and move around, doesn't it? Now, we were going to bring our our tribute to an end right there for From the Cusp, the album The Cusp that Chris Dirksen put out in 2010. But Rachel, you have something special you'd like to share, and I know Sean lit up when you mentioned something to do with the piano. So we're going to end the tribute to Chris Dirksen tonight, but we'll carry on next week with the album The Collapse. But before we play it, what are you going to tell Sean about it?
So I just found this. I guess it's quite timely. So the Isabel Bader in Kingston here does a, I guess, a Bader and Overton Canadian piano competition. And so they have quite a few people to come and perform. And this year, this was a new feature, I believe, they actually asked Chris Dirksen to compose a piece for this year's performance. And so what you're going to hear here, or what you're going to hear right now, is called Returning to Stardust. And it was described by Chris as a meditation on before life and after life, which is indigenous ideology, is we come from the stars and we return to the stars. So this piece is about that. And this was composed and performed actually just this May, a couple weeks before her passing. So this piece right here is performed by Eric Guo, and it is called Returning to Stardust.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And that was Eric Gao. I'm going to go with Eric Gao.
Guo, I think.
Guo. Anyways, it's G-U-O for the folks at home. And that was Returning to Stardust by Chris Adirksen. And she wrote it, even though she's part cello, she runs the cello. She wrote that for piano. Or did she write it for cello? This guy plays piano.
She composed it for the Bader competition, which is
wonderful.
Really, really
important. And they played that over here at the Isabel Bader?
They did. That was from a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And I missed it.
I think you won.
Thanks, Doug.
How did you miss it?
Oh, Eric did? Eric Gao? Go?
I think so.
You were traveling.
I think there were a few prizes.
Was that last week?
Yeah.
No, that's wonderful. He's very good. Mm. Very, very good.
Well, yeah, and that's a long piece too. I mean, yeah. I guess pianists are a little bit more used to doing that, but yeah.
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
It was about 10 minutes.
And the song was called "Returning to Stardust."
I said that.
Yeah. No, I don't. But I'm just saying that.
People want to look it up. Yeah, you can check it out.
Yeah.
The Isabel has. They've posted it. You can find that if you just look up.
Was that on stage here at Isabel?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I asked her that.
Sorry. My earphones aren't working.
What show are you listening to?
You know, repetition is key, guys. Because everyone at home is like, wait, I missed it. Tell me again. And here we are, just doing the work.
Okay, I'm going to play
What was that phone number?
Oh, yeah, we haven't done that in a while, have we?
We've never done that. We don't even believe in that anymore.
We don't believe in phones.
Well, they changed the phones to digital phones here, so we do have a problem with them.
Yeah, that's true. If any of you guys listening out there is wondering why we don't answer anymore, it's because they don't know how. It's not because they don't want to. They just see it, and they're like, oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Everything's changing.
I'm going to do a couple of...
What do I press?
Hey, you have a couple of things you wanted to talk about.
Exactly.
Just real quick, and here it is. Rachel will know, but I doubt whether you will. We'll play it now. Is it up? No, turn it up, Doug.
Sorry. So what is it you have? Okay.
Do you know?
It's
Rachel?
X-Files?
Iconic. Iconic, theme.
Scully and Mulder?
Scully and Mulder.
Mulder.
Haven't you ever watched the show?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Doug?
I feel like I got enough of those right that...
that I know.
I certainly am not researching this stuff for fun.
What?
Have I ever watched the show? Once or twice.
Once or twice.
Yeah. I've got a real fan over there.
Friday night or Sunday night. It was on Sunday night.
I have no idea. See, now, if you had asked me what night, I would be lost.
Sunday night.
Okay.
It seems like a Saturday night show.
Was it Saturday
pretty
night?
Popular.
I thought it was Sunday night.
It could have been Friday night, but I doubt it was Friday night.
Tell me when
I'm
it was
sure
on.
It was Sunday. This is part of our repetition thing.
No, but tell me when, what years this was on.
Well, I was...
I think in 93.
I was a teen.
You were a teen in 93?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So two years ago.
An early teen.
An early teen.
Wait, that's a lie.
Okay.
No, that's a lie.
93.
No, I was not a teen yet.
No, I wouldn't think so.
No, I can't do math.
I'm pretty sure it was 93. When were you born?
we'll do the math.
Before that, but not that.
We already know. We had your birthday in May.
That's true. Yeah.
That was great. Yeah.
So I played that for a reason. They're planning to reboot.
Oh, is that right?
They're planning to reboot this show. And the information that I got was that it was going to be an Indigenous cast.
Oh.
All right. That Tantu is going to be in it. And I think DeVry Jacobs.
That would be super. That reminds me.
Let's see. Where is it? It's here someplace.
I have a book that I can't think of right now. But yeah.
I want to say it's DeVry Jacobs. Anyways, will be on Hulu. It's untitled. It's in pre-production. But those Hulu people, the weasels that they are, decided, well, no, we won't have Tantu Cardinal, DeVry Jacobs, or Sophia Grace Clifton. Really, she's Indigenous. Anyways, no. No, they're not. I was like all excited. Like, oh, an Indigenous cast. Well, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it'll take place, you know, out on reses. No. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to get these guys. And I think this guy's different. Hamish Patel, Amy Madigan. Now, I liked Amy Madigan in Field of Dreams.
I don't think I've seen that.
But I don't know if this is the right vehicle for her. Tantu, yes. Madigan, no. Then it's Steve Buscemi. I don't mind him. Because he's a little odd looking.
Mm-hmm.
He is an X-File.
Wow.
And then Ben Foster. Ben Foster. Do you know Ben Foster?
No.
No. Not at all.
Who's that, Sean?
The name has escaped me, but he played the boy, and he was like a dancer.
That's very vague.
No, I'll find it. Just a minute.
I was going to say Googlers are at home are just
carry
like,
on. I'm a little bit upset now. Because I don't actually remember what it was.
But who made the choice for not having Indigenous?
Probably Hulu.
Oh, the executives there?
Good chance it was Hulu. Yeah.
Where do you
or
watch?
Or were they all Canadian Indigenous?
It'll be on Hulu.
Mm.
Interesting.
Continue on talking. Liberty Heights. He was in Liberty Heights.
Liberty Heights.
Do you remember Liberty Heights?
Yeah, you're talking to the wrong person. You might as well be talking to this chair instead of me.
Carry on. Anyways, no, I was happy to see that it was coming, but now I'm a little sad because it seems that the Indigenous portion of the cast is way, way down at the bottom. Jerks.
Well, we'll have to see when they come out with it, what you think.
Yeah,
the show.
We'll take a look.
We'll
at
get
it.
Our second take.
I'm pretty sure I ain't gonna like it.
I feel like maybe we should get like a bingo card of all of the '90s shows, and then just put money on what you think. You know, every time something gets rebooted, just
Here's my problem with it is that Duchovny ain't gonna be on it, and Jillian ain't gonna be on it.
You should write them.
And you know what else? When Duchovny left the first time, they should have just ended it.
Mm-hmm.
Doggett was horrible.
Mm.
You don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is.
That whole the Doggett thing. No.
And back to I may have seen one or two shows. Okay, so I have no idea who was on.
In any case, the whole reason for this is that I was hoping that it was. I was excited. I was happy. I was like, oh, cool. Good, something different. No, not going to be. it's going to be, it's and the other guy in it was like, oh, Ryan Coogler.
I wonder if we could get some of the executives to do an interview with them about the reason they started with the idea of having indigenous actors.
Well, it could have been just who what I was watching. Yeah, Ryan Coogler. Mm. Ryan Coogler has been in a bunch of movies. Black Panther didn't like. The other Black Panther didn't like.
Okay. Now, you had something else you were going to share with us.
Sinners, I haven't seen. What was I going to, else was I going to share with you? No, that was all.
Oh, and you said two things.
Did I?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So we had an opening. We had the grand opening of the new Jijunha Ungwawana building. Offices? I don't know.
At Tyndanega.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was cool. We had a celebrity or two in the audience. I won't tell you who.
Oh.
But there was a couple of people there, and I was like, is that? And everybody was like, who?
Uh-huh. No.
Yeah, no, they were. It's just like you two in the X-Files. And turns out, it was them. But I'll tell you after.
Gary Farmer.
I would drop his name. I don't really remember their names.
Oh.
But they were in a little band from Kingston.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Them ones. You don't know?
Sure.
Like there's that little band from Kingston. They changed all the signs out there on 401.
Oh.
Yeah, that one.
No, I was just going to say I discovered recently Bob Cajun was a town.
It's what? Really a town, yeah.
I didn't know that it was.
You didn't realize it was a town?
I think I gave very little thought to it.
Oh, okay.
It's not that I was, you know, ardent that it wasn't anything. I just didn't think about it at all. But, yeah. But I went there recently. I was like, oh.
Oh,
wow.
They put up a sign that goes with the song.
Yeah. I was surprised there wasn't more, actually. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. But, yeah. But
Rob,
no, that
Rob
little
Baker.
One.
Okay.
And Gordon Sinclair.
Okay.
Yeah, they were there. It was neat because I was like, huh.
There's.
You look familiar.
Oh, is that right?
It was one of those moments, yeah.
There's. So a friend of mine worked on the archival team that pulled all of the archives and stuff for the documentary that they did and then the book that they did. All of that stuff they, like, scanned in or took photos of or all that stuff. It's like
neat.
Just going through all those things.
Like here?
Yeah, yeah.
The archives. Canada?
Yeah,
the Canadian
storage
archives?
Lockers and stuff.
Really? Oh, cool.
Apparently.
That is neat.
So tell me what the building is. They've just opened a building. What's it for?
It's for language learning.
Oh, really?
Oh, good.
Yeah. Didn't I tell you that?
No.
It was Jijunha Ungwawana.
Okay. You did tell us. I missed that part.
Tell us more. What does that look like?
What the building looks like?
The programs.
It's kind of old. It's there's an adult program. There's I don't know, grade one. It's been a long time since I've been in school, but, you know, this high to, you know, adult program.
Is it like immersion or like through classes or drop-in or you can sign up?
It is immersion.
Wow.
All day.
Immersion's
so it's for
the best.
Everybody in the community then. And because, you know...
I should have probably just did an interview with the people that opened it.
Yeah.
I'll do that and then bring it in.
That would be really good because...
Just for you two, because apparently you haven't heard of the place.
No.
TTO, I've dropped TTO a couple of times.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
So apparently you still don't know. Oh, goodness sakes, guys.
Well, you know what that means, Sean.
What's that?
You got to dive in.
Yeah.
And then a little show and tell Tuesday.
Show and tell Tuesday, yeah.
Okay.
We're waiting for it.
Next week.
All right. I will
hopefully
see
next week.
Find.
If maybe not, next week. We got to give him time to interview people.
Okay. So 23rd then.
That would be awesome, though. I'd love to learn more about that. I love hearing about different approaches to language and just, mm-hmm. just like mm-hmm. what that looks like and how the communities, like how long has it been around for?
25 years. The building is new.
Oh, okay. But, I was like, wait a second, I missed something.
Yeah.
Yes, no. Okay.
The organization, the team mm-hmm. has been around for about 25 years.
Okay.
And the building is brand new.
Okay.
Cool.
Awesome. That's amazing.
Okay. So next week.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC. Listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Melos Choir and Period Instruments presents Of Love, Loss, and Longing. Melos explores themes of love and loss through a range of historic, poetic, and musical expressions from 12th to 19th century Europe, Persia, Syria, and Al-Andalus, featuring the music of Isaac, Monteverdi, Handel, Ibn al-Khatib, Darwish, and more. Join Melos on Saturday, June 13th at 7:30 p.m. at St. John the Apostle Church, 88 Patrick Street. Tickets are $30, available online at melos-earlymusic.org or at novel. Idea.
Hi, my name is Genevieve, and I'll be hosting Peace, Love, and Jenny on CFRC 101.9 FM on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. We'll be exploring everything from pop and soul to funk, jazz, and even a touch of hip hop. Music that spans decades but all connects through good vibes, peace and love, and of course, a little bit of me, Jenny. See you there.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years. We are a registered charity, relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.